visiting with us. We thank you for coming. We hope that you'll come back and be with us at every opportunity that you have. You're our honored guest. We appreciate so very much that you made the choice to be with us. You could have been elsewhere, but you chose to be here, and we thank you for it. Our appeal is to what the Bible teaches, not to what I think or feel, but what saith the Scriptures. And we're going to open up the Word of God and just simply take what the Bible says and go with what God says. If we do that, if we'll go with what the Bible says, make application of it in our daily lives, we'll be the better for it and saved eternally when this life is over. So I appreciate the fact that you're here. I want to briefly mention, I hope it looks like many of you made use of those couple of tracts that were put out last week on why the Church of Christ and then why you will not be saved in a denomination. I had the opportunity, privilege to study with one of the members this past week and appreciate that good study. And one of the questions that we kind of talked about was on the topic of foot washing, which is an interesting study. There's many in the religious world that believe that that's an item of worship, or that the church is to collectively come together to wash one another's feet. And so there'll be another little track that I'll put out in the back just asking the question, what about feet washing? And so you might want to pick that up, and maybe it'll give you some tools, some scripture to use as you study with your neighbors, your friends, and others. Again, appreciate you being with us this morning. Look forward to studying together with you. Our scripture reading was taken. Appreciate Braden for doing a great job in reading from Acts chapter 8, verses 26 through verse 39. Appreciate him reading that. You're familiar with what the Bible says in that chapter. There are at least two conversion accounts, three if you count separately, the conversion of Simon. In Acts the 8th chapter, the individuals of Samaria that heard and believed the gospel and obeyed it. Simon himself heard and believed and obeyed. And then we have this conversion account that is given to us in Acts the 8th chapter concerning the Ethiopian treasurer, this man of authority that was in charge or over all the treasure of the Queen of Ethiopia. I want us to think about some things as we make mention of this man and learn from his conversion account. If you'll recall, several weeks ago I did a lesson for you on, had you been the Jews on the day of Pentecost, what would you have done? We just took some questions from that chapter, asked some questions, and took the answers from that as we noticed what they did. And we put ourselves in their place and asked the question. I want to do a similar thing this morning, just ask the question, had you been this man, would you have done some of the things that he did? And this is just limitless as you think about the number of individuals that you could do sermons on, you could do a Bible class on, as you think about the many Bible characters that we have. By inspiration, we have these things. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God, 2 Timothy 3:16, and it's profitable. He goes on to say that text. So we're just looking at Acts 8, 26 through 39, dealing with the Ethiopian treasure and the fact that he was in search of truth. And I hope that you're in search of truth, that you'll find the truth, believe it, and obey it. Buy the truth and sell it not. Proverbs 23:23. And so I hope that you'll have the same disposition of character that this man had. So as we think about the Ethiopian treasure, you know, we have to rely on what the Bible says for our information regarding his conversion. Now, some folks in the religious world want to read into the text things that's not found in the text, and we can't do that. We've got to take out of the text only what is there and not put in the text anything that isn't there. So let's notice some things about the Ethiopian treasurer. Had you been this individual, maybe you're sitting here today, you're not a Christian, would you have, first of all, been to Jerusalem to worship? Now, I asked you in Acts chapter 2, in a similar way regarding the Jews, had you been the Jews, would you have been in the city of Jerusalem? But it bears repeated to ask the question here, had you been him, had you been this man, this individual, would you have been to Jerusalem to worship and on your way home, having been there to worship? Notice what the Bible says in verse 27. And he arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority under Candace, queen of Ethiopians, and there's a point you can make about that. But nonetheless, who had the charge of all her treasure and had come to Jerusalem for the worship, was returning. This man had been to the city of Jerusalem to worship and now was on his way home. Would you have been to the city of Jerusalem to worship? Would you have been interested in spiritual things? Would you have been a religious individual? But yet we learn, not only from this account, but from so many other accounts, that you can be religious and yet lost. I know individuals, as I'm sure you do, that are so devout in what they believe, so sincere in what they believe, so honest in what they believe, but yet they're not Christians. They've never obeyed the gospel of Christ. And of course, we learn from other individuals in the New Testament that you can be very religious, very devout, and yet not a Christian. I think of Saul of Tarsus, who was very zealous in what he was doing. He was a Jew and Pharisee, but he wasn't a Christian. I think about Acts 10, about Cornelius, a man who is described as being a devout man, one that feared God, prayed to God always, gave much alms to the people, but he was not a Christian. I think about what Paul stated in Romans chapter 10, if you're able to see the bottom of the screen, but it's Romans 10 verses 1 through 3, concerning Israel. Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is, what is it, Paul? That they might be saved. In other words, they're not saved. He wants them to be saved, but they're not saved. For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God. A lot of folks today, as I mentioned, are very zealous, but they're not saved. Paul says they have a zeal of God. I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. Sounds like people today, don't it? Who are so religious. We want them to be saved. We want them to see the truth of the Scriptures. And though they are very religious, they just simply don't know what the Bible teaches. Yet they go out to establish some form of religion whereby they can please God and go to heaven the after a while, and that won't work. The prophet long ago stated in Jeremiah 10:23, O Lord, I know that the way of man is not in himself. It lieth not in man that walketh to direct his steps. And so, you can be religious and be lost. A lot of other verses talk about that. Matthew 7:21-23 and a host of others. But had you been this man, would you have been religious in the first place? In the sense that you'd went to Jerusalem to worship, and now you're returning. But also I want us to ask the question, had you been him, would you have been reading the Scriptures? Would you? You know, if you don't read the Scriptures today in 2020, you probably would not have been reading the Scriptures in the first century. If you think, preacher, I don't have time for it, you probably wouldn't have had time for it then. But I suggest to you that we all have time. The truth of the matter is, so many times we waste our time on other things that really we shouldn't be giving our time and attention to, if at all, for as long as we do. But would you have been reading the Scriptures? In verse 28, the Bible says he was returning and sitting in his chariot, reading Isaiah the prophet. Now, we know, having chapters and verses, he's reading from Isaiah the 53rd chapter. And then in verse 32, the place of the Scripture which he read. And the text on will look beyond that in just a moment. But had you been him, would you have been busy about reading the Scriptures? Here was a man that was traveling. I guess he could have been doing other things, could have been taking in the scenery, could have been doing a host of other things, talking about whatever it may have been that he wanted to talk about, but he was reading from the Word of God. Would you have done that? Would you have been interested in knowing what the Bible says? Well, you know, when we look at these examples like we did from Acts 2 and the Jews on that occasion, what we're doing today is a pretty good barometer to measure ourselves with as we think about, would I have? You're not going to read today. You probably wouldn't have been reading then. In Ephesians 4, verse 3, whereby when you read, You may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ. You and I will never understand the revealed Word if we don't read it. So I ask you, are you reading the Scriptures? Don't answer out loud. You just have to ask that. God already knows. And I don't have to know, but you know. And I'm asking you, are you reading the Scriptures? You'll never know what this book says if you don't read it. I can't impress that upon us enough that you've got to give time. When I say you, I'm including me. All of us, plural, together. We will never understand what this book says so as to be able to believe it and obey it and share with others if we don't read it. Are you reading it? Did you hear me ask that question? Are you reading it? Can't ask it enough. It's important. Whereby when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ. Preacher, I don't have time. I don't believe it. And if that were the case, you need to turn loose of some things. All of us have time whereby we can read. We make time for everything else, don't we? Well, I've got to get the kids off to school, and I've got to see that they get there, and I've got to see that I pick them up. I'm in the same boat with you. Thankfully, Tracy does a good job without my getting in the way, getting the kids ready for school. I'll take them to school and pick them up. What are we doing? Are we sitting in our chariot? You probably have a more comfortable mode of transportation. As we're waiting in the pickup line, are we reading from the Scriptures? This man was. What are we doing? Whereby when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ. Well, that's for the preacher to do. I agree with you, that's for the preacher to do. But it's also for you to do, right? I remember several years ago, Ethan just said, it's just not fair. I have to go to school. He would refer to school as prison. I have to go all day, and Mom has to work at home all day. It's not fair that you go to the building and read your favorite book all day. Well, that's part of what I do. Pretty important. I can't share it with you if I don't know it. But as Paul was writing it to Timothy, he admonished him in 1 Timothy chapter 4 and then verse 13. Till I come, give thyself, give diligence unto reading, to exhortation, and to doctrine. I've got to read. I have to read the book. And you do too. And so we're asking the question, would you be reading the Scriptures? I hope you do. I hope that you and me will purpose every day that we'll give ourselves to meditating upon the Word of God, reading the Scriptures day in, day out, on a continual basis. If you're not doing that, realize it and do better. Purpose that today you're going to go home a reading individual and that you'll read the Bible. Don't spend so much time, by the way, reading about the Bible that you don't read the Bible. Read the book. Number three, I'm asking you this morning, had you been him, would you have desired to be taught? Some people don't think that they need to be taught. You know why? They already know it. They know everything. No need, no use in trying to teach them. They just know it all. Have you ever knew a know-it-all? We probably all have run into individuals like that. But we've got to be humble enough to realize that we need to know the truth, that we don't know it, and that we need to be taught the Scriptures, that we're void of an understanding. The Bible uses the word ignorant. Like in Acts chapter 17, when Paul was stirred up, when he saw that the whole city was... or that the city was wholly given to idolatry. And they were ignorant of the one God of heaven, and He taught them about God. But in Acts 8:31, He said, the eunuch said, how can I except some man should guide me? What he was asking, you understand what you're reading. How can I except some man should guide me? And he desired to feel it, that he would come up and sit with him. All of us are going to come to a point in time when we're going to have to realize I need someone's help. I don't know and understand what this is talking about. I may need to ask someone. This man desired for Philip to come up and sit with him. Well, do you desire to be taught? Do you desire to learn? Well, let's use our measuring stick. Let's think about our activity today and see if we would have desired in the first century. Do you avail yourself of every opportunity to learn the truth? Well, preacher, I guess I do. I come at 10:50 on Sunday mornings. You know, if you come at 10:50 on Sunday mornings, chances are there's going to be people that already been here near an hour. I wonder why. Rose, why was you here? Don't answer out loud. And on around the room. Because you came to Bible class. You realized that there was worth and value in being in the Bible class. And so you came. 10 o'clock. I've tried to stop, remind myself, and stop telling folks we meet at 10:50 on Sunday morning. Come be with us. I tell them, 10 o'clock. We have Bible class at 10 o'clock. Come. Unless you think you don't need to be taught. And surely you don't think that. I don't think it either. We all do. We all need to be taught. So come at 10 o'clock. And participate in the Bible class. Be an active listener. And we're going to talk about that in just a minute. To what's being said. And then at 6 o'clock. You can avail yourself again of another opportunity if you desire to know the truth. To come and to listen to these brethren preach. And then on Wednesday night. 7 o'clock, a midweek Bible study. Come and be. If you're not availing yourselves of the opportunity to hear so that you can be taught, guess what? Had you been in the first century, you probably wouldn't even ask Philip to come up and sit with you. Just go on, go on. Do you understand what you're reading? No, I don't. Thank you, kind sir, going down the road. And just remain void of understanding. We don't want to be that way, do we? We want to be people of the book. We want to be people who know what the book says. Well, preacher, what can I do? Come to the assembly. Well, I'm not strong like I feel like I need to be strong. Are you coming to the assemblies? Come and be stronger. Now, there's other ways we can be strong, but that's part of it. Well, would you have done that? Would you have desired it? John 6 and then verse 45. We think about the necessity of this attitude to be taught. It is written in the prophets, and they shall be all taught of God. Every man therefore that hath heard and hath learned of the Father cometh unto me. Hebrews 5:12. For the time you ought to be teachers, you have need, again, that one teach you to be the first principles of the oracles of God. And stunted their growth. They should have been in a position where they were able to teach others, but they had to again be taught. But do you desire for someone to teach you, to know the truth, whereby you can be made free, by the way, John 8:32. But also, would you have listened? Sometimes we hear and we know people are saying something, but we're not listening to what they're saying. Sometimes we may try to talk to people from another room. Sometimes, Tracy may tell me, I didn't hear a word. Well, she knew that I was saying something, but she didn't hear me. She didn't understand what I was saying. Sometimes I hear a boy, her, maybe the kids, but I heard you, but I'm not understanding what you're saying. Sometimes folks hear, but they don't understand. And sometimes it's because they're not listening to what's being said. Had you been this man, would you have listened? Philip opened his mouth, began at the same scripture, and preached unto him Jesus. You know why I know this man had to have been listening? Because he responded. Now we'll look at the response in just a moment. But I'm asking, had you been him, would you have listened to what was being said? In Acts 17:11, those of Berea, these were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind, and searched the Scriptures daily, whether those things were so. Does that describe you? Are you listening to what I'm saying? You're going to go home and you're going to say, I've heard that before. I'm going to see if that's what the Bible really says. A lot of people in the religious world just simply don't do that. Or they won't be where they're at. They just take it for granted. Well, the preacher said so. Preacher said we were right. Preacher said this is the right church to be in. They never go home and read. They never go home and study and say, well, let me see if the church I'm a member of is the church I read about in the Bible. And as a result of that, they just stay where they're at. In Acts 28 and in verse 27, for the heart of this people as wax grows. Let's back up to verse 25. And when they agreed not among themselves, they departed after that Paul had spoken one word. Well spake the Holy Ghost by Isaiah the prophet unto our fathers, saying, go unto this people and say, hearing ye shall hear and shall not understand. What on earth do you mean hearing? You'll hear it, but you won't understand it. That's what we're talking about. And seeing, ye shall see and not perceive. Got to keep reading. Watch verse 27. For the heart of this people is wax gross, and their ears are dull of hearing. Now watch this. Let's see who did that. Let's see who closed their eyes. Lest, and their eyes they have closed, lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their heart and should be converted, and I should heal them. Be it known therefore unto you that the salvation of God is sent unto the Gentiles, and watch this, and that they will hear it. They'll listen. You won't listen, you Jewish people. The Gentiles will listen to it. Isaiah 42, 18 through 20. For sake of time, we won't go there and look at that, but Israel is referred to as God's deaf and blind servant. You think about all that, all the prophets that were sent to Israel, all the miracles and wonders that God did in the midst of the people, and the things that they were able to see, and the things that they were able to be told of from generations past that had been handed down to them and so forth, and the Scriptures. And yet they were described as deaf and blind. Had you been him, would you have listened to what's being said? A lot of people, they won't listen. Preacher, I'll not hear it that baptism is necessary for salvation. I'll not hear it that the Church of Christ is the Church of the Bible. I'll not hear it that one is saved by an obedient faith as opposed to faith alone or grace alone. People today just won't listen. They don't want it. Love to have it so. But also, would you have asked the question that he asked? In verse 36, as they went on their way, they came into a certain water. And the eunuch said, see, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? Would you have asked that question? That's how we know that he was listening. He was listening to what was being said. Many of you look like you're listening to me right now. Though you might be looking at me in your mind elsewhere, I hope not. In Philippians 3 and in verse 12, it's personal responsibility. Here is water, what doth hinder me to be baptized? You need to ask yourself that question. All things are ready. We have a baptistry with water. If you're not a Christian, you need to ask yourself, what doth hinder me to be baptized? Not asking the question, why are folks not doing that? Why is my neighbor not doing it? You need to ask why you're not doing it. Then you'll be in a better position to try to help someone else. Philippians 3, verse 12, as much you've obeyed not in my presence only, but now much more in your absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. That does not mean you do it the way you want, and I'll do it the way I want, but it's personal responsibility. You are responsible for self. Would you have asked the question? Would you have made the confession in verse 37 when he said, upon being told, if you believe with all your heart, you may. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Would you have made that confession? You know, many religious people today, or folks in the religious world, are told in becoming a Christian, you confess your sins. In fact, when I do a home study with individuals, if I ask them, what did you confess? Many times they will say, well, I confess that I was a sinner. I confess my sins. The Bible doesn't teach that. The Bible teaches in becoming a Christian, you confess your faith in Christ, Romans 10:10, for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. What do I confess? Jesus said, whosoever shall confess me before men, him will I confess before the angels of God. Luke 12:8. Got a perfect example of it. What did he confess? Look up here. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Now, did you make that confession? Did you? Preacher, I didn't know I had to do that. I thought I was to confess my sins. Well, now you know. And today needs to be the day that you'll purpose to do things the right way. Would you have commanded the chariot to stop, to be still? Verse 38, he commanded the chariot to stand still. A lot of times we just read right over that. But see, there's a lot of people that hear the gospel, believe it. They know it's the truth. But they just say maybe some other time. This man didn't do that. Upon hearing the truth, he commanded the chariot to stand still. Acts 16 and in verse 33. Took them the same hour of the night, washed their stripes, and was baptized, he and his, straightway. That means immediately. Don't put it off. You're not given another opportunity. You may not be here tonight. I may not be here tonight. Don't put off what you know you need to do right now. John 9:4, I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. Do it while you have time and opportunity. This man saw the need, the immediate need, to take care of business and obey the Lord. So as a result of that, he commanded the chariot to stand still. Not only that, as we think about what you have done as this man, would you have been baptized? Verse 38. He commanded the chariot to stand still. They went down into the water, both Philip and the eunuch. And he baptized him. Now here it is. You're hearing the gospel. Will you believe it as this man did? And will you obey it? Will you be baptized? A lot of references talk about baptism in the Bible. I just put a couple on the screen. Colossians 3:12. We are buried with Christ in baptism. Have you been buried with the Lord? Being immersed into Christ for the remission of your sins? That's Colossians 2:12 as opposed to 3:12 for those that are taking notes. Sermon outlines in the back, by the way. 1 Peter 3:21, the like figure whereunto even baptism doth also now save us, not the putting away the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience toward God by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Had you been this man and heard what he heard, would you have been baptized? One more point. Had you been this man, the eunuch from Acts chapter 8, after being baptized, would you have went on your way rejoicing? Would you? In verse 39, when they were come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord called away Philip, that the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing. Again in Acts 16:34, the Philippian jailer, after obeying the gospel, you know what the Bible says he did? Rejoice. 2 Corinthians 5:17, you have every reason to rejoice if you'll obey today. 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature, old things are passed away, behold, all things are become new. 1 Thessalonians 5:16, two words, rejoice evermore. What would you have done had you been this man on the road, having been to Jerusalem to worship and now was returning, reading from the prophet Isaiah and now hearing the gospel? What would you have done? Well, you may be in this assembly this morning, not a Christian. And I'll kindly but firmly, you're getting ready to tell on yourself as to what you would have done had you been there by what you're getting ready to do. Whether you'll come forward or not. That's going to be a strong indicator on what you would have done had you been there. What will you do right now? You've heard the gospel. You believe it. It's only one way to become a Christian. You've got to believe, John 8:24, Repent of your sins, Luke 13:3. Confess your faith in Christ that He is the Son of God, and be baptized for the remission of your sins, Acts 2:38. When you do that, God will forgive you of all of your sin, washed away in the blood of the Lamb, Revelation 1:5, and add you to the one body of the New Testament, the Church of Christ, Acts 2:46. You be faithful till death, Revelation 2:10. Heaven will be your eternal home. Maybe you have done that, but you've turned your back on the Lord. You've not been faithful as you should. You realize that. You want to come home. You want to be restored to a right relationship with God. Repent of your unfaithfulness. Make confession to God in prayer. We'll pray with you and for you. Don't delay. Come right now.